catch yourselves, dear listeners, with other people's words in your mouth? Does it make you wonder in that moment if you really believe what you're saying, or if your thoughts and ideas are truly your own? Hello, dear friends, and welcome back to Jones and Wolf, an audio fiction podcast featuring original music. This month's story, Somewhere There Isn't Any Karaoke, is about a mystical encounter in a Tokyo bar that inspires a woman to rethink her relationship with a mentor whose voice she just can't get out of her head. Enjoy. God, Naomi muttered to herself, watching the neon lights stream by, blurred by the rain falling down her passenger window. Tokyo. Again. It hadn't been a full month since Iris had sent her to Japan the last time, and yet here she was, back in East Asia, expected to drink whiskey with the same assholes at Nissan, laugh again when they joked about her height, pack into karaoke bars while they chain-smoked in her face. Hadn't she sworn she was never going to travel for work again? Hadn't she promised herself she was going to quit if Iris sent her on another one of these bullshit client management trips? She was a graphic designer, after all. An artist, not a fucking emissary. And yet, when Iris called her into her office 2 days ago, she felt like she always did in her presence. A lump of moist clay ready to be molded, the willpower draining from her extremities, pooling on the ground beneath her. "Pack a bag," Iris told her. "You fly out tomorrow." And then, because she must have seen the tears welling in Naomi's eyes, Iris added, "One, maybe 2 weeks. That's it. They just need someone to push them over the edge. This is a big deal, Nene. Stiff upper lip, okay? They love you over there, you know that. How's NBA, they always say. That's what they call you, because you're taller than them. They get such a kick out of that. Those guys are crazy. Just show up and be your big, wonderful, charming self. We need you to help them squeeze the trigger. After this, I promise, head of design, director of sponsored content, whatever you want, it's yours." "I'm so fucking pathetic," Naomi said. "Ma'am?" her driver said. "Oh, nothing. Sorry, I must have been thinking out loud. Jet lag, I guess." "Yes, ma'am." Naomi thumped her forehead against the window. She still couldn't believe how easily she had acquiesced to Iris. She hadn't even put up the smallest of fights. She never did. And now what? She was headed back to the same cramped hotel room in Ginza to get a good night's sleep so she could play the happy clown for the advertising executives at Nissan tomorrow. The thought made her want to vomit. "Hey," she said to the driver, "maybe you can help me with something. Where's a good place to get a drink around here?" "What's your beverage of choice, ma'am?" "I don't care," Naomi said, slouching even deeper in her seat. "Just take me somewhere dark, a place that's not too crowded. Somewhere there isn't any karaoke." "You don't like karaoke, ma'am?" "I can't stand the thought of putting other people's words in my mouth right now." The driver dropped Naomi in the middle of an alley with instructions to knock on a metal door 3 times. Not 2, not 4, exactly 3 times, which she promised she would. "What kind of a place is this?" she asked him before he drove away. "Secret bar, ma'am. Mystical energy," which she assumed was something that had been lost in translation. But standing out there all alone, surrounded by dilapidated apartment units with dark windows and no signs of life other than a stray cat rooting through an overturned trash can, she wondered what the driver had meant exactly with his choice of words. Once the metal door had been opened for her, Naomi lugged her bag down what felt like 5 flights of stairs. It was very dark at the bottom. A dim pink glow was just enough for her to see where the bar was. She sat at a stone stool near the front, ordered a drink, and checked her phone. Iris had already texted her 12 times since she landed, checking in, monitoring her every move. God, had it always been this bad? Had she always been her puppet and only recently been able to discern the string suspended above her arms, the twine connected to her jaw? "And look at me now," Naomi muttered to herself. 35 and single. Working towards what exactly? A promotion I don't care about? She sipped her vodka tonic, chewed the ice. She could feel something inside her coalescing, the cascading of snow down a mountaintop, the avalanche that was coming. She hadn't felt this way since she broke up with Adam the last time. What had that been? Number 3? It was after the fight they'd had outside their favorite Indian restaurant on 2nd Avenue, when she finally told him what she thought about his claims of suffering from PTSD. "Jesus, Adam. Lots of families have alcoholics in them," she said, knowing full well she was marching past the point of no return. "It doesn't make you special. It isn't an excuse why you can't have an adult conversation. No one feels sorry for you, dude. Just grow the fuck up." Iris found it all hilarious when Naomi told her the story later. She'd never been a fan of Adam, not from the beginning. "Here's the sad reality," Iris had told her afterward. "Guys like Adam don't want partners. They want caregivers. They can't handle it when a woman pulls her shoulder away and tells them the harsh truth instead." And whether or not Naomi believed that, she hadn't seen or spoken with Adam since that fight, even though there was still a draft of an apology sitting in her inbox and quite a bit of his stuff sitting in her West Village studio. "Marriage is overrated though, right, Iris?" Naomi muttered to herself. "Children, a prison sentence. Stick with me, Nene. Isn't that what you always say? I'll give you something far more important. I'll show you how to be really free." "Who are you talking to?" someone said next to her. Naomi nearly fell off her stool. She was sure she'd been alone, and yet there was another woman sitting across from her now, staring directly at her. "Sorry," Naomi said. "I didn't realize anyone could hear me." "Don't be sorry," the woman said, smiling. She was Japanese but spoke perfect English. A tattoo peeked out from under the collar of her leather jacket. Naomi couldn't make out the shape in the dim light. It sounded like an interesting conversation, at least. "Hardly. You must be having a long day. You have no idea." 4 vodka tonics later, Naomi began to really open up. The woman, Nico was her name, had been grazing her knee with her fingertips, offering to pay for her drinks. "What the hell?" Naomi thought to herself. "I'll never see her again. We don't have to do anything, we can just talk. Isn't that the joy of traveling anyway? These spontaneous moments of intimacy with strangers?" "I used to want to get a nose piercing like yours," Naomi told her. "What stopped you?" "My boss, I guess." "Wow. What?" "The way you keep talking about her. The tone you use. It sounds like you really hate her." Naomi sighed. "I don't hate her. It's complicated. I've worked for her since I graduated from college. Iris built this incredible advertising company from scratch. I used to think that's what I wanted, to be a founder like her. God, I don't know. Now I just feel trapped, like she has my identity in the palm of her hand, like she's in control of my life instead of me." Naomi drained the rest of the vodka. It was odd. She sensed the presence of other people in the bar, but she couldn't remember actually seeing anyone except Nico, even the bartender. Who had given her the drinks anyway? What did they look like? "I'm sorry," Naomi said, noticing Nico's tattoo again. "I read that tattoos were taboo in Japan, that they were only common amongst members of organized crime." "Maybe I'm a gangster," Nico said, smiling, putting her hand firmly on Naomi's thigh. "Or maybe I just don't give a fuck what people think." They held each other's gaze. Even though it was quite dark, Naomi could see herself reflected in this mysterious woman's eyes. "There's a dance floor downstairs," Nico said. "Would you like to go with me?" "I thought we were downstairs." "That's the magical thing about this place. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper." "Follow me," she said, taking Naomi by the hand. Nico led her through a metal door at the end of the bar. There was another dark staircase, a faint white glow deep, deep down below, and the pulse of bass. Naomi reached for her phone, but it was gone. So was her laptop bag, and the smartwatch Iris had given her for her birthday. She could barely see her own hand in front of her face. Everything was dissolving into the haze. Am I dying? Naomi thought, suddenly wondering if maybe she'd never made it out of the taxi. If the remnants of that car were on the side of the highway somewhere, smoldering. Or maybe she was still lying in her bed in New York, wearing Adam's sweatpants, fast asleep. And then Nico leaned in close, her tongue flicking against her ear. Who did you want to be before you became a slave to advertising? Let's go find that person on the dance floor. Somewhere There Isn't Any Karaoke was written and narrated by me, Anthony Jones. The music was done by Joel Wolf. Joel and I have some exciting news to share. We're in the beginning stages of putting together a live show and potentially a small tour. If you'd like us to come perform some of our stories in your town, let us know by emailing jonesandwolf@gmail.com. That's jonesandwolf@gmail.com. We'll be back soon with another story. Until then, my friends, thanks for listening.